John Hanson in for Anna DeVellantes here on WGN till 3 o'clock. We'll keep you posted on all things coronavirus and the markets. But the other big story of the day, of course, the results after Super Tuesday 2 or Super Tuesday the sequel, whatever you want to call it. Paul Lisnick joins me now from WGN-TV. Paul, thanks for hopping on today.
Hey, John. Good to join you.
Well, obviously, it was a huge night for Biden. The polls were showing him ahead in Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi. The polls rang true. It's a real close race in Washington, and the late vote might end up giving Biden another win there. Either way, not a delegate loss. North Dakota goes to Bernie Sanders. Bernie vows to fight on. A lot to unpack here today.
Yeah, well, you know, Michigan was the key state to look at yesterday. That was the grand prize of 125 delegates. And even Sanders' people sort of put it out there as the state he really needed to win. Call it a firewall, call it whatever. But back in 2016, that was where it was predicted he would lose to Hillary Clinton. He beat Hillary Clinton, notably. And so this time around, the thought was it could be the same result. And then he, of course, has his momentum back. That did not happen last night. And so that became difficult for him. I was on our WGN Morning News this morning before Bernie spoke, where I made the point, there's no way Bernie Sanders drops out of this race now. His supporters are so strong and all of that, and so much behind him, there's no way he won't be on that debate stage on Sunday. And sure enough, that is what he told us this afternoon.
Yeah, Michigan, I think that most people thought that Biden would win, although, like you said, in 2016, the polls were similar to that to Hillary Clinton beating Bernie Sanders. Didn't turn out that way. But the fact that Biden won every single county in Michigan, is he forming the Obama coalition again, or is something else at play?
No, I think the Obama coalition is coming together. Here's what I think is going on. A couple of things you want to think about. Number one, somebody's saying, boy, I'll tell you what, after Iowa, New Hampshire, you know, Biden really turned things around. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Iowa and New Hampshire, which were always known to be pretty homogeneous white states.
Right.
You didn't really get until the minority groups, people of color, until after that. So the question gets raised, was this always going to be the story? In other words, if the opening states had been Michigan and some of the other states, was this always waiting for Joe Biden down the line once people of color and others began to vote? So we don't know that. It was also a different dynamic because, of course, all the other contestants are out now, and it's down to the two of them. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that in general, Bernie Sanders, people are saying, look, number one, they would say Trump's got to go. Number two, time for a revolution. The way Trump turned everything around, Bernie Sanders got to turn it around in a different way, and we're going to do it. It seems as though the tone of America, however, seems to be, you know what, we're with you on that get rid of President Trump thing, but revolution, no, not yet. In fact, one last point, which is, and I think the Sun-Times said it best, which was, I'm pretty sure it was them, they basically said Joe Biden is the designated driver. He's not anybody that anybody's thrilled about, or whatever many are, but some aren't. But basically, he's the guy Democrats believe can just get them home safely.
The Michigan primary in 2016, in many ways, had clues to what could possibly happen in the general election, being that more Republicans voted than Democrats in that 2016 primary. And, of course, Michigan flips to President Trump. Obviously, not the same scenario here. President Trump, an incumbent, you're not going to get a ton of Republican votes. But the idea that Biden won the counties, the so-called Reagan Democrat counties outside of Detroit, is there anything we can take from here and apply to the 2020 general election, or is that jumping about 10 steps too far?
Well, I don't think it's 10 steps too far, maybe two.
Yeah.
But you know, look, educated white college women going for Joe Biden, which Hillary was losing. The bottom line is that the Clinton campaign didn't seem to see the handwriting on the wall. You know, maybe Clinton would have turned things around if she had paid more attention to Michigan when they saw the results. I've often looked at 2016 and said, I'm not so sure Donald Trump won that election as much as Hillary Clinton lost that election. And maybe it's a combination of both. But I think the Biden campaign, assuming things go with him as the nominee, and it appears that will happen, it's too early to say it, but whoever it is, Biden or Sanders, better learn from 2016 and better learn that, you know, for 70,000 votes, which essentially cost Clinton the election, yes, she won the popular vote and all of that, but didn't pay enough attention to the states that were making a difference. It was a huge miscalculation, and I don't think you're going to see either of these Democrats make that same mistake.
As we look towards next week, obviously Illinois will be voting. Don't have a ton of polling in Illinois, but it seems to be trending in many ways the same way that Michigan did, where for a while it looked like Bernie might do well in Illinois. A couple candidates drop out. Biden gains momentum. He's strong here. Ohio, similar story, I would imagine. But boy, Bernie, the map doesn't get any easier for Bernie, especially staring Florida down the face next week.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad you brought up Florida, because Florida, which at one time, you know, might have been a Bernie state, whatever, but with his comments, and again, you have to go to him, again, his supporters so strong behind him, but the comments about Castro, you know, it one could argue it's sort of like Donald Trump saying, you know, Kim Jong-un, not a bad guy,
right.
And here's, you know, Bernie Sanders basically saying, look, you know, yes, Fidel Castro was a bad guy, but let's give him credit where credit is due. That kind of language is, I'll go out on a limb and say, going to cost him Florida. Maybe not among younger people, but certainly among older people who have memories of Castro and those days, there's no way they stand behind Bernie Sanders. And as some have said, under Sanders, Florida is lost in the general election. Joe Biden brings that back. What Joe Biden's going to have to learn to do, John, is get stronger in his language. You know, we talked on the morning show as well about that clip of Biden yesterday, you know, swearing at some guy who said, you're trying to take my guns away.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment there was, look, first of all, the rules have changed. You know, when a presidential candidate, if somebody had used the bad language that Biden used in that instance in the past, people would have been appalled. It seems as though these days, hey, anything goes, right? You can't get upset when somebody swears. When the President of the United States can stand at a podium and swear in front of a crowd of 35,000, then all bets are off.
Yeah, back in the day, if you couldn't spell potato, you were in trouble.
Yeah, remember those days?
Oh,
Dan Quayle,
yeah.
Right. But I think right now, essentially, I sort of dismissed it with Joe Biden basically saying, I think it was just a Biden moment. It got him angry, but you know what? The fact that he yelled at some guy or whatever, you know what? Join the crowd. In fact, with hope, for Democrats, he will maintain that kind of strength and be able to go after President Trump the way President Trump is clearly going to go after him, which is why I think it's great that he's going to debate Bernie Sanders on Sunday, because some people are saying, well, Sanders is waiting to see if Biden kind of falls apart in the debate. If Biden falls apart in a debate against Bernie Sanders, how's he going to handle himself against Donald Trump?
Fair point. Shifting gears from the presidential election a little bit, just your take on any other interesting races you're looking at come next Tuesday here in Illinois besides the race for presidential primary.
That's a lead-in for me to plug my show. So
Sunday
mornings at 9 a.m., WGN-TV Political Report, we took a look this past Sunday, I posted it online, at all the Republicans who are trying to unseat Lauren Underwood. The real interesting thing to watch, not so much maybe for the primaries, because it's only Republicans voting, you know, against Republicans, Democrats against Democrats. But we are going to keep an eye as the general election approaches to these districts, the 14th district, where Democrats turned a red district blue. Well, Underwood is one of them, and that's one of the races we looked at.
And Sean Casten, too, yeah, for sure.
And Sean Casten. So, you know, tossing out long-term serving congressmen like Peter Roskam and Randy Hultgren, replacing them with has the district continued to change? Have people been so soured by Donald Trump that they give this Democrat another term? Or was that a one-off that we'll never see again? Those are the kind of things, and I think that's going to be bellwethers for what happens around the country. Remember, Democrats picked up 41 seats that got him the House. That's part of what the Biden people have often said as well, which is you put Bernie Sanders in the lead role, you run risking losing those 41 moderate kinds of districts that were willing to go Democrat, but maybe not to the extent Bernie Sanders would require them to do down the line. Sanders people would disagree with that and say, no, Bernie, we'll bring them home. I always like to balance everything I said.
30 seconds left. Boy, that Conway-Fox race is going to be interesting to watch, too.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, and we did do a debate on our show with those candidates on the Democratic side. I thought Kim Fox handled herself very well. That debate is posted. People want to see it at WGNTV.com. And, you know, all the questions, everybody goes after her, everybody attacks her, but they're running some PACs are running some really strong ads against Conway right now that, you know, makes him look like his father's creating weapons and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't know how those are going to play, but I think the race comes down perhaps between the two of them. I think Kim Fox probably ekes it out. We'll see.
Paul Lisnick, it is always great to chat with you, my friend.
And same here, John. I really appreciate it.
Of course, host of WGN-TV Political Report, a weekly roundup co-hosted by Tom and Bradley as well at 9 and 9:30 on WGN-TV.